Galilei demonstrated his new telescope to a group of officials atop the Campanile in Venice. And in 1912, the Boy Scouts of America named its first Eagle Scout, Arthur Rose Eldred, of Troop 1 in Rockville Center, New York. And with that, that's going to do it for us today. You've been listening to International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of our producer, Nadia Taha, engineer Rob McLean, and managing editor Kate Pound Dawson, thank you so much for listening. You'll find in-depth coverage of world events and news at the VOA News website. And don't forget, with our mobile app, you can download our stories and take them with you. Until next time, I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Make it a great day.
Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thanks to all of you for joining us today. Now, Disney recently released its much-anticipated sequel to the classic animated film The Lion King. The original film, released 25 years ago, became an instant pop culture phenomenon for many reasons, especially because of its music. And this perhaps explains why Disney decided to cast musical powerhouse Beyoncé as the voice of one of the movie's leading characters, Nala. On the heels of the movie's release, Beyoncé made a surprise announcement. She was releasing her latest album, a soundtrack to the film. The album was titled The Lion King, The Gift. And on the album, Beyoncé curates a selection of songs featuring some popular Afrobeat artists like Wizkid, Burna Boy, Yemi Alade, Tekno, and others. Beyoncé said that the album was a love letter to Africa, adding that, quote, "It was important that the music was not only performed by the most interesting and talented artists, but also produced by the best African producers." However, some people, including my next guests, disagree with her characterization of the album as an ode to Africa. They make the argument that the album was barely reflective of the talent, art, and cultural influence that Africa was having on global pop culture. And one of those people is Tatenda Gumbo, a cultural critic and social media strategist here at The Voice of America. She joins me in studio together with musical curator Beshu Gedamu.
So let's start off from, what do you think about the album itself before we get into the rant? Let me start with you, Tatenda. You listened to the album?
I did listen to the album.
What do you think about the album?
I thought it was a pretty good album. I was excited when I heard that something was coming out from Beyoncé, just kind of curious exactly what it was. And I think leading up to it, they talked about it was a love letter to Africa. And then she released, I think, the track listing maybe about a day before. So my first thing that I did was look up the artists to say, okay, who are the artists? Where are they from? What's being represented? And I think that was probably kind of where I was a little disappointed, because I think that right now, when we talked about this last time, you know, Afrobeat is big. Nigerian artists are big, and big up to them all the way. But, you know, it didn't feel like it was
Let me stop you right there, because I know you're about to start. Let me get your first feels on that album. Were you surprised that Beyoncé released an album? I mean, we knew she was going to be Nala. She's Nala in this sequel.
Truth be told, I don't think I paid attention that she was actually doing the soundtrack. I wasn't aware. I thought she would have like a couple tracks on there, and I really thought it was going to be mostly, you know, produced by Disney or a composer, Hans Zimmer, you know, someone along those lines. I didn't realize this was going to be like a fully Beyoncé produced album.
Right.
All of this to say that I do not like the album. I don't think it sounds good. I think it's all over the place sonically. It doesn't sound like a compilation. It just sounds like a bunch of sound bites. Like, tracks were recorded individually and they were just put together to make an album. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's not easy to listen to. personally.
What about you? Do you feel like this?
I like the album. Mm. I like the album.
In terms of the sound, do you feel like there's a consistency? Is this a Beyonce sound?
Well, it's not a Beyonce sound. It wasn't meant to be a Beyonce sound. It was in my understanding, it was an album curated by Beyonce, where she came together with other artists and had producers, had writers, and they all came around to create this, view of the African sound that I think, again, is really popular right now.
Yes. Tell us exactly how you feel about that.
So, I mean, I think it's
great. You feel like she represented the continent?
No.
Is this truly an ode to the African continent?
No. I wouldn't say so. I think that it is an ode to what is popular right now coming from the African continent. So you're going to have the two biggest or bigger music markets, which is Nigeria and South Africa, that are represented, and then there's a little bit of Ghana in there. But it, to me, was not representative of everything that's on the continent. So if you think about Lion King, for example, itself is about Serengeti. And so even with that, we didn't have any Kenyan artists or Tanzanian artists. Excuse me, let me not get in trouble. Mm. Any artists from Tanzania. Yes.
Which other artists do you feel like deserve to be on this album, at least to be able to have that feel like it was representative of the continent?
I don't know. I won't say necessarily there needs to be artists that deserve to be on the record, right? I think her choice of artists are good, but it's not an ode or homage to Africa. Mm. It doesn't sound like it. It's just another album that, even the fact that they're saying Beyonce curated and produced, the word curated an album is not a novelty, right? Mm. She curates her own album. Every album she puts out, that's a Beyonce curated album. Mm-hmm. This is no different. The process of this was probably less intensive on her end creatively than her other projects.
Because everybody else was doing the work.
Right. Right? So what does the curation mean? You just put a track list together. Does the curation mean you've decided to put Burna Boy on air and, Yemi Alade? What part of the curation was this? Or does the curation mean you started with that soundbite and it ended with a soundbite? What does that mean? I do not like the album. I generally don't like the album. I think the tracks themselves are strong. If you were listening to each track individually, I think they're good.
What are some of the tracks that are?
Burna Boy is a favorite of mine. I like Brown Skin Girl for the message. I don't necessarily like, the production of the track, but I get it. It's a good, feel-good song. And, there's the Kendrick track, I think, is Nile. That's okay. I mean, I just feel like the album, they just wanted to put Beyonce's name on there, right?
And it's not a Beyonce album.
It's just, okay, Beyonce is singing on 4 tracks or 8 tracks, and she's Nala in the movie, and that's it. It was just another marketing thing. And also, she did an interview, I think, on Good Morning America, where she said, she created a new genre around this project.
Oh, no, she did not.
And I was like, no, she didn't.
What genre? Afrobeat?
But that's exactly the point, right? There is no genre. This album is genre-less. You got a few Afrobeats artists
right,
on the record, a couple of South African artists, and it's good, but it's not, it doesn't sound like anything. It doesn't sound like pop, rock, hip-hop, R&B, it doesn't sound like anything. So for her to say she created a genre, I also think she's also not a genre-based artist.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So,
that was going to be my point, also, that she doesn't really, you can't box Beyonce in terms of, the genres. But most importantly, I feel like if this was an album that was created with an audience in Africa and in the U.S., it's very hard to come. There's no genre, there's no American, African genre box that you can fit that in.
Yeah, I mean, for example, Burna Boy's new record, it sounds really good, but it's not Afrobeats, and it's not completely trap or hip-hop, right? He toes that fine line where he's still trying to please his audience, his core audience, his West African Nigerian audience, and then he's trying to pretty much tap into a market, like the U.S. market, right? Mm. The U.S. market is the hardest market to penetrate for non-American artists. So this is almost like his shit of per se, right? Mm. This is where he's seeing himself as an international artist because he's penetrated the American. Uh-huh. Suzuki no Bijin Chang.
Jetiri no be looking. You know me, I know the pretender. From start of the week to the weekend. I know they have a corner. Footwork like Pogba. If you get a mic, don't me. I want to get a yacht, don't like. Sheep don't run with lion.
If you're just joining us, this is Up Front on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. And in the studio with me here, The Voice of America, is Beshu Gedamu. Beshu is an Ethiopian-American music curator based here in Washington, D.C. Also with us is Tatenda Gumbo, a social media strategist and cultural critic. We're talking about the new Beyoncé album, The Lion King, The Gift, an album that Beyoncé called an ode or love letter or homage to Africa. Now, if you haven't listened to it, the album features a number of African artists, mostly Afrobeat stars from Nigeria, stars like Wizkid, Yemi Alade, Burna Boy, and others. And part of our conversation is whether the inclusion of these artists was the basis of Beyoncé calling this album an ode to Africa. Or, as she said in an interview with ABC's Good Morning America, that she created a new music genre with lots of drums and chants. A claim that was side-eyed by our panel today. Seriously side-eyed. And of course, we're not lost on the significance of Beyoncé collaborating with African artists and what it means to them and the many African producers involved in this creative process around this project.
So I want to get your views on this. There are people who are saying that the people who actually benefited from this were not only just the musicians who were featured on this. This is a big career move for any artist to be featured on a Beyoncé album. This is huge. But most importantly, the Beehive that we are very much scared of, that for Beyoncé to expose this music to them, that they benefit more than even the musicians themselves. What do you think?
So what I will say is, I'll start with the second point. The second point, I would say that I honestly do not believe that Beyoncé is opening up something to her fans. I think that a lot of the fans have already been exposed to this. I just think that we're in a time and era where I don't want to believe that a Beyoncé fan has never listened to an Afrobeat song or Wizkid or Davido or, you know, maybe some of the other artists they might have not have heard of. But I think that they've been exposed and it's just another opportunity for them to hear more. Mm-hmm. On the first point, though, I actually have a friend that I grew up with who actually has writing credit on the album. He has writing credit on two songs. And it was amazing because he's an artist and, you know, he's been grinding, trying to, you know, do what he has to do. And I haven't talked to him in a long time, but, you know, you see each other on Instagram, see what people are doing. He's written for Jadena and he's done some stuff there. And so I think for the artist,
does this feel like a moment for him?
Absolutely. Because, you know, he posted it on his Instagram. That's how we all found out. And you see his name on the credits there. And I think it's great because for the artist that got to work on this, I think it's amazing exposure. And I think more so for the artist that wrote and produced that you might not necessarily know of. Because I think what I enjoyed doing was when the album came out, I was on Instagram after seeing what Nana had posted. I started looking at, you know, what else people had been tagging themselves in and started seeing all these, like, South African producers or, like, writers who had credits in there. Yeah. So I think it was... In that sense, sometimes the music might not transcend in the way that we want it to, but I think the overall point to it is great because it's like there's a group of people
who we did not know about
who have been given all this exposure. Right. And I think that's great. So I mean, even seeing him, I'm just like, wow, like that's dope. Like he got to work with Beyoncé.
Absolutely.
And you start thinking like, was he in the same room as her? Who knows? But
I don't think so.
But you know, for him, it's amazing because he'll always have that credit. And of everybody who may have been given the opportunity to be part of this project, for whatever reason, he's on it. And you have to wonder like who else had a chance and
Absolutely.
Who else didn't.
Absolutely.
But for the artists that did get a chance, I think that's like super dope. So.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that the lesser-known producers, writers, sound engineers, everybody that participated on this project, I think, and again, I don't want to sound like a Beyoncé hater, but perhaps your friend knew one of the major artists that's featured on the record, right? And the curation part maybe comes in where Beyoncé's like, I want to work with Wizkid. Mm. Who's on Wizkid's team? Everybody on Wizkid's team is winning. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So by default, yes, he got credit on Beyoncé album. But WizKid was featured on there. And I think, you know, the mentality that my win, my team wins, is a result of this project, right? Mm-hmm. And
I think Beyonce is good at that, too. She knows how to give credit.
Well, we're not going to say she knows how to give credit. Not necessarily. But we can say that perhaps people on her team sort of understand the up-and-coming or the superstars.
Right.
That
they have a good eye and a good ear.
They may or may not credit everybody. But I think in this case, musically, right.
It's really hard to credit everybody in the ecosystem or whatever.
No, it's hard. It's difficult. I mean, when you work on a record on itself, that is easier to sort of narrow down because then you have to account for everybody's time and everybody's getting paid for that, right? So everybody's going to be credited and on the smallest level as well. Mm. So, to that extent, I think the exposure really helped the quote-unquote, I don't want to say lesser known, because I think everybody has, if you ended up on a Beyonce record,
you already have a platform.
Yeah. And your platform may not be Beyonce, but your platform was through these other African artists. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just be honest. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that just gave you, it didn't do much for WizKid.
It's a different avenue.
It didn't do much for Davido. It didn't do much for Burna Boy.
Right.
But it did a lot more for the people who work on their teams.
Do you think it did something for Beyonce, though, as an artist?
No, it didn't. Shit for her.
Really?
I'm sorry. it didn't do anything for her.
You don't think Beyonce gains from working with these artists?
What does she gain from working for this artist? Is it personal satisfaction? Like, when I'm thinking gain, as far as your question, I'm thinking financially.
You're taking money?
Or creatively, perhaps.
Creatively, yes.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But did this add something else to her career? Like, did it open another avenue? Mm. Not necessarily. She could have done without this album. Really, she could have. It would have been easier for her to do a whole African-inspired video and one track with five artists or, like, an EP.
We Are the World.
Right.
I think the idea that she feels like she contributed to the genre or to Africa, to me, is a little bit rich, because she didn't. Because a lot of the stuff that's on in the videos, in the songs, already in Africa.
Right,
like,
right.
She didn't contribute.
Absolutely.
Anything.
And we're going to get to the visuals later on.
Yeah.
But I want you to talk to what Tatenda says, that if you're a Beyonce fan, that most likely you know these artists, so you know Afrobeat.
No, I mean, I don't listen to radio, but the last time I listened to radio, there was an Afrobeat track playing on urban radio, right?
So, in the U.S.?
In the U.S.
One, at least.
One. I mean, it was like, big up Africa, and the DJ just dropped an Afrobeat record, right? So, Beyonce is kind of late to the game in that regards, right? Because I think Afrobeats for itself has made its way, has sort of penetrated in everybody's households sonically, right? It's on your playlist. On Spotify, you don't have to listen to the radio, but now it's on the radio. Getting radio play is actually better, I don't want to say, in terms of exposure, for the average person that doesn't listen to Spotify, doesn't have Apple, right?
Right.
And
if you listen to WKYS, you'll hear
that video. You'll hear it.
Right.
Yeah.
They have expanded their catalog to include the name of the song, Joanna.
Oh, but yeah. I mean, they're going to play Joanna till it's dead, right?
It's radio, too. Radio literally has, like, 21 songs. Like, no matter what it's the same song spinning every hour, so I give that. But I my question really is to say, like, okay, this is supposed to be, this could have been a cultural moment, right?
Mm.
And I'm not mad that it wasn't that big, because I think that what it says to me is that, like, we had our Wakanda Forever moment, but I think it's transcending past that. And so when moments like these do happen, it's not going to be like, oh my gosh, there's an album that has all these African artists that Beyonce did. It's kind of like, hey, another piece
thing
of music
is happening. Right.
I can love it, I can hate it,
right.
And that's it. We keep moving. And so, like, I kind of appreciate that in a way where it's like, we're not going to get pigeonholed into this, like, whole Wakanda Forever and Lion King Forever. And it's kind of like, no, here's a piece of art that has been recreated. Here's a piece of art that has inspired an
Things
album.
Things have changed in the last 5 years.
Exactly.
Like,
and it's not a big deal.
An African artist to be on a Beyonce album and doesn't make a lot of, you know, noise.
Yeah, I mean, it made enough noise, it made noise that goes along with how we consume culture and consume content right now. So it was big, and it happened, and we're happy, and, you know, we kept it moving.
So let's talk about the visuals. The visuals, Spirit the song mm-hmm. has already been panned for appropriating some of its creative artwork. The video looks like a little bit like visuals created by Petit Noir, yes. a South African artist. I've seen side-by-side frames, people recreating it, and they're saying that she stole some of it. I don't know if any of you have watched it, but most importantly, do you think she's going to have a visual album?
I don't think so. I think she's less invested in this. The visuals for the record for Spirit was just, I think, a music video, and that's her homage to Africa. That's it. Like, I'm not expecting in the second video. I'm not even expecting a sort of a credits inspired by any sort of thing regarding that video, which is unfortunate, right? I mean, and I don't know who was on the team. I really can't speak to if she had any African artists involved as makeup artists or even as anything throughout the shoot of the video. But it's unfortunate that this is not her first time. Mm. This is a repeat offense. And at the very least, this is inspired by, or this is, you know, created by, but, you know, with permission from. Something right. to that extent. Yeah. Like,
you just don't ever know.
You just never yeah. know. And it's unfortunate because, yes, these African artists put so much time and effort behind. I mean, as a creative, I think I would hate for someone to literally plagiarize my work and claim it as their own, or not even claim it, really, because if you don't claim it, then people assume that it's yours.
Right.
So the disservice that she's doing in that regards, I think, maybe should have been thought out a little more carefully, because it's not the first time, and it won't be, clearly won't be the last. Mm-hmm.
To piggyback on one of our first points about how this is not representative of the continent, because she leaves out major sections of the continent, including East Africa, where the movie is supposed to be best. North Africa, we don't see any features on that, but let's talk about some of the musicians. Maybe you probably know some musician in Zimbabwe who should have been on this track.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I guess the question is, like, who are they, and who are they to you, and who right. are they to the masses? And I guess in like to defend, in a sense, it's kind of like, I might have an artist that I love, right? Like, Zimbabwe has Amara Brown. I feel like she's super poppy, and she can do like a Yemi Alade kind of like sound. Mm. But the thing is that
Yemi Alade.
Sorry. Mm. I meant to do all the time.
They're married now.
Sorry. But she can do the similar sound as right. Yemi, you know? But I think the question is that it's kind of like the exposure, and also who knows them. And you know, when you do music, I mean, yeah, you want to bring in people that are unknown. You want to bring in new artists. But you also want to create something that's going to create a buzz and have peak interest and all that. So I think that in this space, there were a couple of artists that were in there that people might not know. Mm. But I think that it's also very strategic. It's not just like a random artist who's from Uganda who, yeah, probably has a following in Uganda, but then maybe they didn't fit the sound right. or the connecting them didn't work. And we've known Beyonce to connect with like random artists. Like, I think like in one of her videos, she took Tofo and like they were in the actual video. So I wouldn't say that she's not trying to give exposure, but I think it's also like, once that happens, what does it mean for you as an artist?
Right.
Like, I don't know where Tofo is now. I hope that they're doing well.
Are these the two dancers?
Yeah, the two dancers. Yeah. And we haven't seen them on a grand
yeah.
scale.
Right.
But you know, like, even the video thing, it's like the brown skin girl, that became a cool moment, right, in the culture. And like, you had like, you know, brown skin girls being like, hey, listen, she's talking about me.
Right.
And she
Lupita
turned around.
I was really happy about that.
Yeah. And she turned around and used like user curated content to like create a video or like a little blast on her social, which I think was great. But I think it's just a thing of just like taking a moment, and it's not necessarily that it has to be so big. Mm. You know, it's kind of like she did something. She was doing Lion King. This was an idea to do. They did it. It was a moment in culture, and you know.
Special. Any artist you can think of that deserve to be on this album?
I can't say deserve to be, because what was the direction of the album? Like, what was the goal for the album? Was the goal to just put a bunch of African artists on a record because it's Lion King? You know, literally, that's what it sounds like.
That sounds
like.
Really bad.
I mean, that's
when you
me,
put it that way.
That's exactly what it, to me, that's what it looks like, that's what it sounds like. Because, oh, I'm doing an African movie, I should do an African soundtrack, I should do an African-inspired video. I'm like, no, take a few steps back, sis, and think about it. Maybe she did. And maybe that's, maybe she's about to think after she watches this.
I'm not sure that Beyonce thought that she would get some sort of backlash, or any kind of backlash from Africans.
I don't think she cares.
She really doesn't care. I mean,
I hope she cares.
I'm not saying she doesn't care, but I'm saying this is like such a small blip on her radar that it's not going to affect.
Right.
But I assume,
to your point again.
Yeah, to my point, it just felt like it was the homage to Africa. That's just it. Like, we're putting chants in here. We're putting drums in here. We're putting African artists in here. I can imitate certain, you know, stylistic styles in my videos, you know, and I can give a platform to African artists.
Right.
I'm like, but these African artists have had platforms for the last 10 years, right? You came late in the game, like literally too late in the game for Afrobeats to say, I created Afrobeats or I put Afrobeats on the map, because Afrobeats has been on the map long before you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so, at the end of the day, I'm like, what did this record serve? What kind of purpose did it serve? How is it serving? If it's a pet project, then cool. I think it should have, that's what should have been. Beyonce loves Africa. Beyonce wants to do this. But she's just going to do this. Unrelated to Lion King. Like, I'm also having a hard time sort of
processing.
Well, not divorcing the movie from the soundtrack. And it's not a soundtrack to Lion King by any means, you know, by any means. It's a Beyonce project. It stands on its own as a, personally, as a failed Beyonce project, but as a Beyonce project.
Well, okay, so how did you feel about the Black Panther soundtrack, for example?
I didn't like it either.
Okay, just wondering.
Like, I mean, I'm not hating on Beyonce. Just I did not like the Black Panther soundtrack. I love the movie. The soundtrack was just hit or miss. And I'm like, well, is this where we're headed towards in terms of, like, soundtracks? Are they not going to be reflective of the movies? Or are these going to be pet projects that people think they should do? Because it's a black movie, I should make a black record. Because it's an African movie, I should make an African record. Like,
maybe that's where we are.
Maybe that's where we are.
I'm just worried about making it sound so cliche, look so cliche. Like, okay, I'm producing an ode to Africa, and then let me have African artists on there.
But it is cliche. It is cliche.
And, you know, everybody kind of does that. But, ladies, after we've is there something about this album that you loved as we end this segment today?
I mean, there are a couple of songs. There are a couple of songs on it that I play. They come on my playlist. So I don't mind it. I'm not playing it back to back. Like, I think I had more of a moment with her Homecoming album personally than I did with this album. And this is like, okay, great. Like, you know, my Afrobeats playlist that I have, they've thrown some of the songs in there. They come on. I enjoy them. But for me personally, as a cultural moment, it wasn't.
Which song do you want listeners to?
Don't Jealous Me.
Don't Jealous Me.
Yes.
Don't you jealous me. That's that jealousy. Don't you jealous me. That's that jealousy.
Beyonce, who is on that one?
That has Yemi.
Yemi Alade. Not Yemi Alade. Yemi Alade.
Yemi Alade.
Don't Jealous Me. Check it out. What about you? What is it about this album? Is there a song that spoke to you?
That moves me? No. That's also the
problem. Even Brown Skin Girl?
I think Brown Skin Girl is a feel-good song on its own.
What about the message?
The message is great.
Deep.
Great.
Relatable.
Great. I mean, I'm not dissing the song by any means. I'm just thinking about, do I like any track?
Right.
Is there a standout track? No.
My favorite track is Brown Skin Girl. The second one is the Burna Boy one.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Guys, I'm happy you came out with the album.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like this is a moment for Burna Boy too.
Yeah,
like, he kind of jumped on that.
Definitely.
Ladies, thank you very much. Beshu Gedamu, Tatenda Gumbo. What's your...
Tatenda by the Gram.
Tatenda by the Gram. Yours is actually, La Beautiful Mess.
Yes, La Beautiful Mess.
La Beautiful and then Mess.
Yes.
One word.
One word.
Yes. We pulled it up so you can keep it and see it. Tatenda. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank
I know
you.
This was kind of impromptu, but we did it. We're waiting for anybody from the feedback from the Beehive. Good feedback, positive feedback.
Okay,
please do not attack my girls on the street when you see them. Okay, they're out here doing their jobs. And with that, we come to the end of our show today. Many thanks to my guests, Beshu Gedamu and Tatenda Gumbo. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to the show today. You can connect with me
at Upfront Africa. That's my Twitter and Instagram handle. Check us out on Facebook. Just search Upfront Show, VOA. And do check out our YouTube channel also. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. We'll catch you next time. Goodbye. I never trade you for anybody else. Pose like a trophy when Naomi's walking. She need an Oscar for that pretty dark skin. Pretty like Lupita when the camera's closing. Trip broke 11 when my Kelly's rolling. I think tonight she might break her brace. Melanin too dark to throw her shade. She minds her business and winds her ways. Roll like 24K. Okay. Tonight I might fall in love. Depending on how you hold me. I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love.